Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world, so keep it tuned right here. Welcome back. We are talking about the expedition to Transylvania and taking you sort of step by step through the experience of traveling to this old European part of the world and adjusting to the culture there, the food, the little things. You know, I like to eat salad. And it's funny because in Romania, they would say, you know, do you want a tomato salad or a cucumber salad? You're like, okay, yeah, fine, I'll take a tomato salad. All that meant was they'd give you a chopped up tomato. If you had a cucumber salad, they'd give you a chopped up cucumber. Not really a salad as we think of it, you know. And in this country, a salad means we mix a bunch of things together in a bowl.
What would you order, like a tomato, cucumber, and lettuce salad?
You'd have to say, yeah, I want tomato, cucumber, lettuce, blah, blah, blah. And then they would kind of sort of mix it a little bit. Europeans aren't big on mixing things. I mean, you go into a bar and you'd say, I would like a gin and tonic or something like that. And they would give you a glass of gin and a glass of tonic. And you would have to mix it yourself. They don't mix things there. I don't understand that. And that was the same way in London. You know, if you ordered a Jack and Coke, well, here's your Jack Daniels and here's a Coke. It was very strange. So that day when you arrived, Shelley, earlier in the day, we rode around Bucharest with Radu. And, again, he was our guide who was born there in Transylvania. And he said that in 1989, when the revolution took place, and Nicolae Ceausescu, the dictator, was executed. You know, basically, he and his wife were taken out and shot in the head. Radu said he was one of the guys in the street with a gun. You know, he was out there as militant as need be. And these people in Romania, they really appreciate freedom on a level that we spoiled Americans don't understand. He said that prior to 1989, you would only get electricity up till about 7 o'clock in the evening, and then all the electricity was cut off. You only got one channel of TV, and that was all propaganda, communist propaganda. The newspaper was nothing but Ceausescu's speeches. There was just so little freedom, and he said it was really miserable. And then once the regime fell, everybody went bonkers, and they were just like partying it up in the streets, and he said it got too out of control, and it's taken a while now for sort of some kind of order to come back, which again is one of the reasons that I think there haven't been that many people, Westerners, who felt comfortable going there to Eastern Europe and doing what we did. But now I'd feel totally comfortable going back on my own and driving around in my own car, and I wouldn't worry about it. I'm sure you feel the same, Shelley.
I do.
So anyway, that next day we ended up going to a shopping mall, and one of these other little things, like Lauren ordered a margarita. It said margarita in the menu. What they brought out was a martini glass with some type of yellow liquid in it. So, the menus, you know, you might think you know what you're getting, but they have a whole different idea for what it is. We exchanged our money that day. Now, one American dollar is worth 3.4 Romanian lei. That's what they call their currency. You have one leu, or two lei. So that's the plural of it. So you can imagine, you know, the lei jokes were flying the whole trip. And then their coinage is called bani.
Bani.
But the prices were great there. I mean, well, for example, a lot of the stuff there was priced similar to what it would be priced here in the U.S., and yet the average salary for a Romanian is only $12,000 a year in U.S. So the people there are very poor, by and large, compared to the prices. So what would be a normal price for you and me would be super expensive for them. So we were all like a bunch of rich people, you know, coming in, traveling around the country, and I'm sure they all loved that. So finally, when we all, you know, Bucharest is in, I think Bucharest is in I believe it's Moldavia, is where the province it's in. So Shelley, you remember the day we all got together, you were tired, you'd just gotten off the airplane, and finally we start driving to Transylvania to our first night's stay in Brasov. And Bucharest, again, is kind of like a big, dreary, sort of rundown town with a lot of impressive stuff, but it's still just a big city. Once you get out of the city, there's this distinct drop-off in countryside. And, I mean, it becomes rural very, very quickly. So as you start driving into Transylvania and the landscape and the atmosphere begins to change, I actually wrote a paragraph here about the experience of rolling into Transylvania. So we'll see if you think this is accurate, Shelley. Just as you might expect, Transylvania is nested in the hypnotic Carpathian Mountains. The landscape is breathtaking. Steep, curving roads lead you along rolling, green, quaint landscapes with quiet, friendly people working in gardens, dressed in old-time garb. Bundled old ladies with headscarves and canes meander in the villages. Horses and wagons rumble down the cobblestone streets alongside European cars and the occasional ocean of sheep being herded by a withered man with an old staff, briefly commandeering the passages. As you travel deeper, the rolling hills ascend into soaring, craggy peaks, mist and fog seething around them, shrouding their snowy caps like a dark Shangri-La, silhouetted by tall, austere mansions with pointy turrets. Around each bend, castles appear perched like quiet rocky outcroppings far above, keeping deadly watch. Gradually, a traveler passes into another dimension, a time capsule of superstition and mystery, as if gliding into a Brothers Grimm tale or an old horror movie, a place where fairy tales meet the macabre, where today's peaceful peasants till the ancient blood-soaked land.
Yeah, I'd say that is it.
And a lot of the land is similar to western North Carolina and parts of Virginia and Tennessee, except all of a sudden you'll come through this area where you have these just gargantuan, like, bare rock faces that are, you know, huge with snow caps in the background. I mean, it looks like every beautiful depiction of Transylvania you've ever seen in the movies. A lot of sheer cliffs and whatnot. And so, you know, you feel like you're going back in time. When we got to Brasov, it really was just a typical cobblestone street, old village that looked beautiful. It looked like some kind of movie set there.
It really did.
Yeah, and we took a walk around the town, and there, you know, there's a stream that runs around it. There was a cave, because there are tunnels that would run all throughout the place. We had a cool hotel there, no elevator in the hotel, so a lot of people were complaining about having to drag their bags, especially some of the people who, like, packed steamer trunks.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible how some of these folks sort of overpacked. But anyway, the first night we were there in Brasov, we dined at this place called Bella Musica, and you would go into this old dark cellar, and it was the place we were talking about, Shelley, where you were just like tripping constantly.
Yes, I just couldn't walk straight in Europe. Nothing is level, and yes, I tripped over everything.
It was the perfect place to eat that first night, and just a little, maybe about 10 of us from our group went there. it was dim, it was candlelit, and I had goulash there, which goulash is sort of a mixture of all kinds of things, including chunks of beef. It was actually invented in Hungary. You know why they invented it in there, Shelley?
No.
Because they were hungry.
Because they were hungry, yes.
And goulash was good. But you guys at your table, you had kind of a creepy waiter that night, didn't you, Shelley?
Yes, we did.
Now, how would you describe this waiter you guys had?
He looked like Dracula.
Yeah.
You had a photograph taken with them.
That's right. If you go look at the Facebook page devoted to the expedition, you'll see a funny photograph of me posing with this guy. He really did look like a vampire.
He did. He did.
There was something awkward about him.
Yeah.
But here's one of the weirdest things that we noticed again and again all over Romania. You'd go into these really classy, you know, restaurants where they would have, you know, the nice tablecloth and all the silverware and flatware, you know, laid out nicely. Very kind of formal atmosphere. But in the background, they're playing like Madonna and Britney Spears and
ABBA.
AC/DC. Yeah, always just like American music that in no way whatsoever meshed with the atmosphere. Very bizarre. I mean, you get fired in this country if you played AC/DC in a 4-star restaurant where people are sitting around there with proper silverware and plates and things. They don't get that connection between music and atmosphere.
Right.
All over Romania, never got that connection anywhere. That was weird, and that gave everything, no matter how classy it was, a little cheesy edge.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, everywhere. Somebody needs to explain to the Romanians, some classical music would be appropriate right now. Not Britney Spears, right? But anyway, we went into... Now, most of the people there were extremely friendly. Once in a while, you go to a place where you didn't feel welcome just because they were kind of indifferent toward Americans. Now, granted, some of the people in our group were really loud. They would go out drinking at night, and they'd sit on the street, and they'd, you know, start cackling, and they would have locals, like, shaking their fists in their windows, screaming at them. Yeah, this actually happened a few times. I was not a part of it, but I had heard about it. And, oh, man, we're already up on a break. So, okay, when we get back, we're going to talk about the Black Church and the last witch burning that happened in Europe as we're getting closer and closer to these castles, the real castles controlled by Dracula, but especially the one that he actually lived in. We're taking you on this mental journey with us through Transylvania. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange... Imagine rolling through the foggy Carpathian Mountains, traveling in the heart of Transylvania, passing in and out of buildings that have been there 1,000 years or more. The United States of America has been around approximately 236 years. We would walk into a building that's been there four times as long and look at things that are so old, and yet they didn't look nearly as old as you'd think. I guess that's because they're so well made in Transylvania. It was a mixture of superstition, old Europe charm, mystery, trying to determine what they're thinking about us, a group of Americans with our gadgets and buzzers and meters and things. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This program is brought to you in part by the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. Go to sunshinesimple.com to watch the free demonstration there. And you'll see why that it's been such a hit, why I use it, why Shelley uses it. Also, go to joshuapwarren.com if you want to see some pictures from the expedition. There is no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. So the first real day of our expedition in Brashov, when finally everybody, minus one guy who was delayed by a flight, everybody was all together, we're going around, we're investigating things. Forrest, you're going to like this, man. The first real day of the expedition, Shelley Wright here loses her freaking passport.
Me.
The most valuable thing she has.
Me, who never loses anything. Who always has contingency plans. Who knows where everything... Me. Yes, yes, I was a pod person in Europe.
And so, yeah, I mean, she walks up, actually, I think it was Patricia who came up. We were looking at a church, and she goes, Josh, Shelley lost her passport. Do you know where the consulate is? I'm like, oh, are you kidding me?
Okay.
How do you lose your passport? I mean, it's the most valuable thing you could have. It's more valuable than your money.
I will tell you how.
Yes, let's hear the story.
In very dark cellars of restaurants, when you've had a little too much palenka,
Nobody else lost their passport.
No, they did not. I gotta tell you, I took the ribbing. I totally deserved it.
Oh, we're not done yet.
No.
You're going to hear about this for the rest of your life.
Yeah, probably.
Well, my question is there someone running around Romania right now passing themselves off as Shelley Wright?
I got it back!
She did get it back.
No, I did!
What was that process like of retrieving your passport?
I walked back to the restaurant when we got back, and they gave it to me, and I walked back to my room.
Aren't we lucky that there were honest people working at this restaurant?
Yes, and let me tell you something. When we were about to go into the castle, I remember looking at you and saying, I'm not worried about my passport.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, well, you ought to be.
Yeah.
You were the one that was panicking.
Yeah, I
was perfectly calm. I knew it would work out.
Well, thankfully it did. And it dropped out of your coat. Or something like that? Is that what happened?
I had left it in the restaurant, the dark, dark restaurant the night before.
The Bella Musica.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, where we were all tripping over the uneven... What was that? Raised platforms that were just jutting up just wherever.
All over the place. Yeah, I mean, in the shadows without any warning.
Yes.
So we go walking around. We see the Black Church, which is a church that, gosh, that's like... one of the oldest. It was like 1,000 years old. And the Black Church was called that because for years it was so run down that basically like vagabonds and stuff were just building fires in there to stay warm, and all the soot had built up on it and created a Black Church. But outside the Black Church, it's funny because there is a nice, big, beautiful fountain in the middle of Brashov, which is sort of the center of activity. And so you have, you know, a big open space there, which is the square, if you will, and that's where people are running around having fun, enjoying themselves, enjoying the nice weather. And yet this beautiful fountain right in the middle is also the place where the last witch burning happened in the 1700s, right in the middle of that square. And supposedly they put the fountain there to help cleanse it of, you know, dark negative energy. So that was weird. You'd never know that that was where they burned a witch, you know. Like you said, Shelley, a lot of really cramped, narrow streets. What'd you call them, cockeyed?
I believe
cockeyed
so.
Streets. So as we head off through the mountains, and of course I was shooting high definition footage this whole time on this whole trip. I haven't even watched all my footage. At some point I think we're gonna have like a public display. We'll set a big screen up and we'll get together and watch all the high def footage that I shot, and it looks great. But we headed to our first real castle called Bran Castle. And, you know, Bran Castle is marketed as, quote-unquote, Dracula's castle. But that's an exaggeration. It was the most touristy place. You see, when Vlad was in power, he did have influence over that castle, but that was not where he stayed. That castle was a large military outpost that was the official gateway between Eastern and Western Europe for many, many years. And it's an impressive castle. But, again, it's much more commercialized than anything else we saw. There were a lot of merchants and stuff who were at the foot of the mountain there where the castle sits, selling just crap from China, basically. Did you buy that there, Shelley?
I bought a very nice scarf there.
After I just finished talking about the crap they sell, you're like, oh, look at this beautiful.
I did not buy the crap.
So what's the story behind that scarf?
Bought it in the village at the foot of Bran Castle.
Well, anything you get in Transylvania is kind of cool because, hey, I got it in Transylvania, right? That is a nice scarf, but, you know, redheads and scarves that make me nervous. You remember that. You wrap that around your throat, around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
You know the story.
Mm-hmm.
The head rolls off one day.
I know.
So Bran Castle, you know, it was neat, but a lot of people, I feel sorry for them. A lot of people probably say, I'm going to go to Romania, I'm going to go to Transylvania, and I'm going to go to Dracula's castle. And they don't do their proper research. They go to Bran Castle, and they come back home, because it's a huge pain to go over there. It's a big, long, you know, laborious journey. And once you get there, you come back home, and you're like, oh, I went to Dracula's castle. And then all your friends do a little research, and they're like, no, you didn't. Yeah. That's got to suck really bad. If you want the real deal, you've got to go to this castle called Poenari. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But down there in the restaurants in the areas below Bran Castle, where they have some great cheese and some homemade palinka that I got and Patricia got, much, much better than anything commercial.
Oh, yeah, that was the good stuff.
I ate for the first time tripe. Were you there when I was eating tripe?
Yeah, you let me have some of your tripe.
You had a bite of tripe, okay.
Yes.
Now, I mentioned earlier I ate some nasty things in Romania. Just, you know, why not? Got to experience it. Blood sausage is something that we ate, which is just congealed blood with pieces of fat and whatnot. And it had the texture of liver mush with this kind of irony flavor to it. I didn't care for it. Did you, Shelley?
No.
Yeah. We had head cheese.
You had head cheese.
Oh, you didn't have head cheese?
No.
And so the head cheese, it's, you know, they basically take a sheep or a calf and they mush its head and its brains all up and they make a cheesy thing out of it. It's not literally cheese. They just call it cheese. It's just a mushy wafer of things in a head. And it's, I didn't care for that. But tripe soup. Okay, tripe is, in this case, cow intestines. And it came in this sort of oily, slightly cheesy, yellowish liquid. And when you dip your spoon in there, you take out these chewy, white slivers of meat. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what it's like to eat Romanian tripe. And, you know, I was thinking, I haven't felt that well since I got back. Maybe there's a connection here. Yeah, I'll tell you about tripe, and then we're getting closer and closer to the forest of the Impaled, where I got the first good paranormal results of the trip. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange. Traveling through these mountains with your scientific gear to do research. The Carpathians. Trip of a lifetime. We spent time over there investigating. We're telling you about it tonight, the expedition we just returned from in Europe. This is part one of a series. Who knows how many parts the series will end up being. But this is Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and in fact, we're going to wrap up part one of the series this segment, because next segment, last segment of this hour, we're going to try to get Mr. Mobius in here to give us an update on the zombie apocalypse before we go into the dark 30 hour. But yeah, tripe, you know, again, it's pieces of in this case, cow intestines and stomach, and basically a little sliver of it was sort of smooth on one side, and the other side had almost a hairy texture, because there are these little tiny, like, fibrous, hair-like things that I guess help move food through the system of the animal. And when I first got it, and of course Lauren was rolling camera as I took my first bite, the first thing I did was I leaned down and I smelled it, and the bowl with this yellowish oil and all these pieces of tripe, it smelled like a barnyard. It really did have that grassy, organic, manure-y type, you know, smell. And I was like, I'm not looking forward to this. Right. So I finally took a big spoonful. Again, chewy, chewy, chewy. And it didn't, at least it didn't taste like it smelled. It was kind of tasteless. It was very kind of bland. And, but not enjoyable. I mean, it certainly was not good. I wouldn't say it was like horrible, but you've got to be really poor and down on your luck, in my opinion, if you're going to eat this crap. And maybe literally eating this crap, because they say that if the lining is not cleaned properly, it's not even suitable for human consumption. It's only good for dogs and things. So I ate a few spoonfuls, and I was like, okay, that's enough. I've had tripe. I can say I've eaten it.
Let's see who else I can get to try it.
So then you came meandering along there, Shelley, and you took a spoonful or just a piece or a sliver? How much did you eat?
I took a spoonful.
And what's your review?
The Sioux in Romania don't have just a whole lot to them. Yeah. You know how we're used to having the bowl just chock full of stuff here? It's not that way there. You know, even vegetable soup, it's like, where are the vegetables?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like depression soup.
Yeah.
You know, not really much of anything to it.
Yeah.
It didn't really have too much of a taste, but the taste it did have put me off.
Yeah. It's like the old saying, you know, there's too many good things to eat in life. And you have to taste things so you can speak authoritatively, but...
But yet, it was on every menu at every restaurant we went to.
Yeah, yeah. I've been told it's kind of a delicacy there, for whatever reason. But I don't think I'll be trying it again, ever.
No, been there, done that.
Yeah. So we ended up going to this nice big fort called Raznov, where they had this kid archer there who was, you know... People were dressed up and shooting bows and arrows and whatnot, and that was really cool. We actually got dragged up there by a tractor and a little wagon to the top of this thing, and they do make some fine alcoholic beverages there. I had some pear schnapps. Did you have any pear
schnapps? No, I missed that.
Those are very good. But on our way out of there, we went by the Impalement Hill, Forest of the Impaled. As I talked about earlier, this is a large, steep, rocky hill, and it is crested by a big Romanian flag. And the Romanian flag is just a red, blue, and yellow vertical stripe. One big blue, one big yellow, one big red. So we marched up to the top of this thing. Very difficult trudging up this dangerous ground.
Big, heinous hill.
Yeah, and you can just imagine what it would have looked like hundreds of years ago with bodies impaled all over it, men hanging their skeletons left to rot there, being devoured by vultures and other beasts and vermin as an example, a big stinking example on this hill. And so I went right to the very tip-top peak of this hill, where I imagine, like, if I were Vlad... And I decided that I was going to go to all the effort of impaling all these dudes to make an example. Where would I put the number one jerk, right? The number one guy that I had a problem with. Where is he going to go? And I looked at the hill and I was like, this is where I would put that guy, the top of the totem pole. And I went to that spot and my equipment started going nuts. I hadn't gotten any really substantial results throughout the entire trip. And I'm standing there looking at this spot where I'm getting these big bursts of electromagnetism, and I'm sort of tracing it back. Now, this is in the afternoon, so not exactly prime conditions. And I realized that right around that spot, a plant was growing. And it was sort of outstanding because it was the only example of this kind, a big plant. And it had these little... greenish balls dangling from it. And at first, we thought maybe this was an olive plant. Turns out it's what's called a Mirabel plant. And Mirabel is a type of plum. And so this Mirabel plant is just, you know, exuding, emanating all these bizarro frequencies of electromagnetism and these big electrostatic charges. And I was really impressed by this, and I thought, man, you know, this is one of the most active places that I've ever seen, right around this plant. And I don't know what that means exactly, that this plant was growing there, but I tell you, if you ever get the chance to go to this hill where he impelled these people, head to the Mirabel plant at the crest, and you'll see that, you know, this is apparently where he would have put the number one guy. And it's slightly toward the front of the hill, so it would be more visible from the ground looking up, where there ironically is an old church sitting there. So that was like my first little hint that maybe we're going to get into some real action on this trip. Little did I know how crazy things were going to get by the time this trip was over. I'm, of course, just introducing you little by little to how crazy things got. That night, we went back to Brasov, and we had a big feast in an old cellar. That was when they brought out the flaming meat, Shelley. Do you remember that?
I do.
The flaming meat. And that was also the night that Radu told us his donkey joke. Do you remember the donkey joke?
I'm trying to remember the donkey.
You had too much palenka.
I had much palenka.
Yeah, Radu, our guide, very charming, warm, funny guy. I hate to give his joke away, but okay. He'd been telling us for a couple days. I have a donkey joke for you. I have a donkey joke, yeah? And finally he goes, okay, so God made the donkey, right? And says, you know why Donkey goes, hee-haw, hee-haw. You know, why, Radio? He says, well, God made Donkey. And Donkey look into mirror, and he see ears. Big, silly-looking ears. And he goes, hey! But then Donkey drop his head down and look between his legs, and he goes, ah. So this is why Donkey goes, ah, ah. Little flashback of Radu for you. So anyway, the next day we go through the scenic countryside, and let me tell you, this was a winding path up really steep mountains, down these long, narrow, curvy roads. Wasn't long till somebody on the bus started vomiting.
Not me.
It was not Shelley. Shelley was smart enough to have a little patch or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. You know?
And to help with motion sickness. But, yeah, there was one lady who was, God bless her, she was having a horrible time. And it was, you know, I felt so sorry for her. We, and this is, you know, getting into country where the roads are so narrow. And yet you also can come around a bend and there are just horses wandering around randomly. Sheep being herded, and you got to be careful. And our bus driver, Aline, was just, he was magical. He was so talented with that bus. We were on our way to Poenari. Poenari is the real Dracula's castle, the real one where he actually lived. And to get there is no small task. I mean, it is now these striking, impressive ruins that sit at the top of this mountain. To get there, you have to walk up 1,480 steps. Not everybody made it. Out of 35, 33 of us did. So that was really, really a good ratio. But it took a long time. Basically, if you've ever been to Chimney Rock here in Asheville, if you're standing on the street and you look up at Chimney Rock way up there, that's what Poenari looked like sitting that high up, except you're about to trudge up there on foot with all these dark storm clouds rolling in. And when we got to the real Dracula's castle, I was especially shocked by what I found. But that's going to be in next week's show, because we're going to end part one of our special series here tonight. When we come back next week, we'll tell you what happened when we actually made it to Dracula's castle. And I think something followed us from there, because that's when everything began to hit the fan. And oh, just wait till you hear what happened on next week's program. When we come back, we're going to try to get Mr. Mobius in here to give us an update on the madness of the zombie apocalypse that has just been exploding. And then, of course, we go into the Dark 30 Hour. Hope you're enjoying tonight's special edition, part one of our series on the expedition to Transylvania. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. The final minutes of hour number two before we go to the Dark 30 Hour, which will be the last hour of the show as usual. And my goodness, the sick, twisted, dark, perverted stuff that's going on has blown my mind, and that's saying a lot. So wait till you hear that if you are not easily offended. Not for the kiddies. But you know, I came back from Europe and I was just overwhelmed with the amount of zombie-like, brutal, violent behavior that's been going on around the world, but especially here in the United States of America. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren, and while I've been gone, Mobius has been keeping close watch on this zombie apocalypse, and we're going to get an update on this, a report from him. Mobius, you've got just an incredible timeline of events. What's been happening here?
Well, I think the headlines caught everybody's attention in Miami when a man had 75% of his face chewed off by a guy who seems he was on bath salts. But the behavior of the zombie-like attacks continued. There was a man in Canada who started sending body parts to various government buildings, and it turns out that he had eaten the heart and the brain of a man that he had dismembered and left his body across the street on some church. So and then it continues. In Maryland, another man had cut up a person, and he had eaten parts of his heart and brain again. And this went on and on. You hear these weird stories. It kind of, when you start looking at it, though, there was a deeper weirdness going on down in Florida. Apparently, the hazmat team kept being called out for weird rashes and things that were going on with students and people in buildings, at least two occasions. There were weird behavior. People, like in an airplane, would suddenly freak out as if he was under some type of drug influence and just behaved very oddly. This happened over and over down in Florida. So it's just extremely odd, with the hazmat team again being called out. But as of just a few days ago, you would think that this might start to slide off, but now a man in Louisiana is accused of another attack where he bit a chunk of a man's face. And they're saying that this may also be bath salts. So it's just like the zombie apocalypse. It's here and it's on us.
And I've heard that, you know, this is even hitting close to home. Did something happen in North Carolina today or you know, fairly recently around Shelby, maybe?
I heard a story today on the news that a woman suddenly became very, you know, very angry. And how do I say this nicely? She made a man sing a lot higher very quickly by removing some of his body parts.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm going to talk about during the Dark 30 Hour coming up next is this fella in Canada who dismembered and did all these horrible things to another man and videotaped it all and put it online. And when this was first presented to the cops, even the cops said, well, this can't be real. Turns out it is real. And today I watched the video. And in the Dark 30 Hour coming up in a minute, I'm going to tell you what you see in this video as much as I can get away with on the air. It is one of the sickest, most disturbing things that has ever been recorded. And I'm just seeing nonstop brutality, but there is a cannibalistic, destructive... I mean, we're talking about people ripping other people apart, biting other people apart, eating other people. Is this a self-fulfilling prophecy, or is this bath salt thing just, you know, the zombie poison that is finally taking people's minds over? How do we begin to explain what's happening here?
In New Jersey, what you're talking about happened when a man became agitated with the police. He ripped his own guts out and threw them at the police officers. And he was rushed to the hospital where he's barely alive. I keep hearing the police say in these reports they just cannot believe what is happening. They're left stunned. And the CDC is making very strange announcements saying there is no zombie virus. Nobody panic. I've just never seen the news be so strange. It's absolutely creepy.
And what's up with this guy spitting blood on police officers? Where was that?
That was in Florida. He was a doctor, and he simply freaked out when he was put into the patrol car. He beat his face and head into the glass divider, and to the point that he was just spitting, you know, just blood all over it, the whole patrol car and the officer. And again, he could not explain why his behavior was so strange. So there are some very weird things going on.
Well, I mentioned earlier in the show that on our Facebook page, you have a link to the guy, the pictures of the guy who had most of his face eaten off by this zombie. And, I mean, the police officer shot the zombie two or three times before he went down.
They shot him six times before he stopped with a .40 caliber weapon. It's unimaginable it took that amount of force to stop him.
And I've warned people that, you know, you shouldn't go look at this unless you, you know, you want to see something horrific. But I've never seen a person who's had their face eaten off like this before by a random stranger who happens upon them. I don't know what's going on here, but we have been talking about the zombie apocalypse for a while, and I swear to God, it looks like it's happening. This is how it happens in reality.
It does seem to be like a movie. Maybe instead of buying, you know, Facebook stock, you should invest in your bunker.
Okay, well, Mobius, keep on top of this, please. Keep us updated. Thank you for that report. And when we come back, I will tell you all about the video that I saw today, and it's disturbing. It's true Dark 30 material, and I feel kind of sad for what's happening now to mankind. That and more over the next hour. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and we'll dig into the dark side after these messages.